All right. And I'd have to say, Mabel Louise, after all we've been talking about sneezing in this this particular time period, that's a, you know, that particular little skit there in that commercial comes from about a year ago, I think.
Oh,
and
okay.
So it was all pre-COVID, but now everybody's got these images of, you know, paisley swirls of whatever going after somebody sneezes.
Yeah.
It's so crazy. Well, good morning.
Ron, good morning. Good yes. morning. It's good to be here.
Wonderful. And you have something that to communicate to us today
I
that we can spread
do.
Virally.
It's a beautiful
it
story right out of the scriptures.
Wonderful.
And a good morning to you. Well, yesterday here in Chippewa Valley was the warmest day of the season. And we had the AC going big time. Even the birds and the squirrels were hiding. I went out on the front porch to have my mid-morning cup of coffee, and it was too warm. I went right back inside. Well, after all, this is June, and did you remember that it's Father's Day and Children's Day month? Well, it is. So my message today is centered around the death of a 12-year-old daughter. Hang in there, it gets better. The title of my message is Jairus' Daughter Healed. First, let me give you my verse for the day. It's a good one. Children's children, that means grandchildren, are the crown of old men, and they're the glory of children, and the children glory in their fathers. Well, that's taken from chapter 17 of the book of Proverbs. And this story I'm going to be telling you about today is so beautiful, and it's recorded. It's so important to the Holy Spirit to give it to us in three times. So he certainly wants us to know about it. So let me turn in the scriptures to the fifth chapter of Mark. Jairus is the father's name, and the scriptures identify the daughter as a 12-year-old. No name was given. So I've got my Bible right open in front of me, and I'm going to just go verse by verse and let you enjoy the message the Holy Spirit has for us today. It's so beautiful, and it starts out with Jesus going to the Sea of Galilee and gathering there is a group of people. And in the midst of all of this, there comes a ruler of the synagogue, and that means he was the preacher, really, the pastor. He spoke and kept the message going. And his name was Jairus. And when he saw him, when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. And he begged him greatly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray, would you come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed and live?" And he says this is so interesting, because he said, "And she shall live." Already he's letting Jesus know he believes that it's going to be done. So Jesus went with him, and many people followed and thronged after him. But all of a sudden, a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years long, she had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and wasn't even any better, but rather, she even grew worse. And when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind, and she touched his garment. For she said, "If I can just touch his clothes, eyes shall be whole. Oh, what faith. Isn't that beautiful? Here are two people. Jairus, who believed immediately. He was expecting a miracle from the Lord. And here is this dear lady hurting, and she too is expecting a miracle from the Lord. Well, Jesus immediately felt virtue had gone out of him. So he turned around in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said, "See the multitude thronging around you and saying, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her, the one who had done this thing, the one who had touched him. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came, and she fell down before him and told him all the truth. And Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of your plague." And while he was yet speaking, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house a certain person which said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the master any longer?" Well, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said, "Be not afraid, only believe." Isn't that precious? What lessons are in the contents of this portion of Scripture? To expect God to do something for you when you have a need. Isn't that precious? To have faith, to know if you just even the Bible says, even as a grain of mustard seed. And boy, have you ever seen a grain of mustard seed? It's so tiny. And just that much faith can move mountains, as they say. Well, anyway, the daughter was told to go in peace and that she was whole. And now here comes running a person from Jairus' household saying, "Don't bother the master, she is dead." And then Jesus said, "Be not afraid, only believe." And you know, this is exactly what we need in our lives all during this coronavirus and so many things happening right now in our world, in our country. Be not afraid, only believe. And then Jesus suffered to follow. All of the people began to follow him. And he said to the people, to James, Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and he came to the house of Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue. And he saw the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he said unto them, "Why make you this ado and all this weeping? The damsel is not dead, she's sleeping." And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out of the room, he took the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him and entered in where she was lying. And then he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, "I say unto thee, arise." And straightway she arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. Have you ever wondered why the Holy Spirit emphasized that she was of the age of 12 years and she got up and walked? Well, of course, she was full of energy already and ready to get going. Typical young person. And, of course, the people who were weeping and wailing and crying were astonished at what God had done for this precious little girl. And he charged them straitly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given to her to eat. Yes, being at that age, they're always hungry. And you know, what you might say, Mabel Louise, why did you check this particular chapter and this particular father as a Father's Day message? I don't think I could pick one better. Here's a father who loved his only daughter so much that he was willing to walk probably miles and miles to see the Savior, to beg him, the scripture said, to come and heal his daughter. It's apparent that he knew Jesus and knew about him and knew what he could do. And the fact that he loved his child so much that he took time for all of that effort. He was a busy man. You know how busy pastors are. And yet, here's a father that loved his daughter and was willing to take her to the responsibility of Jesus to heal her. It's such a beautiful story. And although the Jewish religious leaders, for the most part, were hostile to Jesus, here was Jairus. He wasn't. And he was willing to, as I said, to beg Jesus to help when his daughter was so desperately ill. And of course, Jesus always responds. We can count on that, all of us, to pray and ask Jesus to help us. But the interruption of the woman touching the hem of his garment came, and Jesus was delayed. I was thinking as I was reading this chapter over and over and asking the Holy Spirit to teach me about it. I was thinking, wonder what was going through the mind of the Father. Do you think he was saying, hurry up, Jesus. We're losing time. Hurry up. You know what? I really think that he paused and watched what was happening and saying in his heart, okay, another miracle by Jesus. I don't think he was in a hurry at all because he was trusting Jesus to do exactly what he had asked. Isn't that precious? And they had to walk to Jairus' home. And by the way, that would take a while. But as soon as they arrived, Jesus told the crowd of the mourners that the little daughter was only asleep. He was telling them that the period of her being dead was only going to be short as just being asleep. But the professional mourners that they had hired by the family, understanding Jesus' words in a literal sense, they laughed. And they said in no uncertain terms, that child is dead. I thought it would be interesting for me to tell you, I looked this up, and I was just learning for myself, what happened when someone died in the Holy Land during Bible times. Well, usually they would bury their dead quickly, like maybe even the same day. Of course, the attitude of the people of the Holy Land is different than what we do. But as soon as death has taken place in the Orient, a wail is raised and that announces to all the neighborhood what happened. And this is a sign for the relatives to begin demonstrating their sorrow. It's been described, and it was in the article that I read, as a sharp, shrill, ear-piercing shriek. And this shriek is followed by prolonged wails. And when this is heard, everybody knows a death has occurred. From the time the death wail is heard until the burial takes place, relatives and friends continue their lamentation. The prophet Micah compares it to the cry of wild beasts or birds. Here's what Micah 1:8 says, "I will make a wailing like the jackals and a lamentation like the ostriches." This was what the scripture describes when Jesus entered the house of Jairus, and he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeing the tumult, and them that wept, wailed greatly. I just thought that might be interesting to know what happened during Bible times. Well, let me close with this thought. Good fathers not only tell their children how to live, they show them. Isn't that good? Tune in to my next broadcast and let me continue on with this story. God bless you and goodbye.